When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in to Vern's postgame show.
God, a home run! A 3-run homer for Salvador Perez.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Fournier.
All right, let's get comfortable. I have a feeling this is going to take a while. Game number 152 is in the books. It's a 3-1 loss to the Detroit Tigers. And let's get right to it. Here's the focus I have to imagine. Here's the question I want to hear your answer to. Pretty straightforward. What has you worried? Now, whatever it may be, maybe it's from this 3-1 loss to Detroit. Maybe there's an aspect of this loss. Maybe it's something that didn't necessarily transpire today, or maybe it's something that's, in your opinion, going to transpire tomorrow as Alec Marsh and Tarek Skubal meet up in the finale of this 3-game series. Royals hoping to stave off a sweep. Yeah, that's what I want to know tonight, ladies and gentlemen. If you were one of the near, well, more than 21,000 to turn out tonight, we're not going to make you wait on hold. You'll jump to the front of the line. So the phone number is 913-586-7965. Again, that's 913-586-7965. Now, when I ask, what has you worried, that's not said with an accusatory tone. Now, I'll tell you what has me worried. But I want you to get us started tonight. 913-586-7965. Now, I'm not going to sit this one out. Yeah, there was no doubt about it. There was something that happened in this game tonight that I think we've all feared for the past few weeks now. But I want to hear from you. Come on, Kansas City, where you at? 913-586-7965. Royals lose in 10 innings and drop the series to the Detroit Tigers. I'll dive into the magic numbers and the tragic numbers. We'll look at the standings coming up in a moment. But there's no doubt about it. This one, well, for me, this one was painful. Last night was a heavyweight bout. Just boom, boom. Haymaker after haymaker, getting up off the mats, and then they would get up off the mats. Now, last night was an entertaining game. Tonight was an entertaining game, man. I was dialed into this one, edge of my seat kind of stuff. And I have to imagine if you were one of the 21,000 in the building, you feel similar. Tough loss, no doubt about it. Reagans goes for 7 innings. Chris Bubich. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that Chris Bubich is indeed that bridge to Lucas Hursek. to get seven dominating innings. It wasn't dominating from Cole Reagans, but when he needed to dominate, that's exactly what he did. All right, two on, one out in the fourth inning after back-to-back walks, and he punches out the next two batters that he faces. Reagans was outstanding. Chris Bubich was just as good. Lucas Ursak gives up a leadoff double in the ninth, and he doesn't allow that runner to touch third. When you get that from Reagans, Bubich, and Ursak, coupled with an outstanding night defensively, Bobby Witt Jr. in the first, Freddie Fermin with a pair of strong throws down to second, Michael Garcia with a great leaping catch, and Michael Massey with a great diving stab. When you get elite pitching and elite defense, ladies and gentlemen, that must lead to a Royals victory. 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. I'll tell you what has me worried. But first, I want to head out to Raytown. Noah, you're hitting leadoff tonight. You're on 96.5 The Fan. Noah, what has you worried?
And, like, the defense was there tonight. The pitching was there. Just couldn't get those boys around the bases.
Yeah. 100% right, Noah. Thanks for the phone call. 3-1, the final score. Yeah. Royals only scored one run. That's normally not going to be enough. Royals went 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Detroit went 2-for-15 with runners in scoring position. The Royals left 10 men on base. The Tigers left 8 men on base. So both offenses were equal opportunity offenders. Right? Having opportunities before them, but unable to cash in. You know, when we look at it from a Royals offensive standpoint, we say, what are you doing? You got to get that big knock. But when you look at it from the Royals pitching perspective, well, you heard what I said just a moment ago. Cole Reagans manning up. Buckling down when he needs to make that big pitch. Lucas Ursak. Being the type of high-leverage reliever this team needs him to be there in the ninth inning after that leadoff double. So both teams had opportunities to blow this game open. Both teams had opportunities to get out in front and stay out in front. But neither was able to get to the opposing pitcher. Until the 10th inning, Tigers score two and take the series, winning the first two. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Let's go to Kyler in Independence. Kyler, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Kyler, what has you worried?
Yeah, you know, it's a night like tonight where the hitting with runners in scoring position, just hitting in general, it's nights like tonight where I just really feel like the loss of Vinny just really just makes me get down in the dumps. But it doesn't really do any good to get upset about. So, I mean, the big thing is just about who's going to come through in those moments. I feel like we've got guys pressing right now. They're really up against it. I think the Tigers being as hot as they are is just really tough right now, but ultimately, I really like the way the bullpen's picked it up. Ursak had some bad luck, man. Like, that ball's off the knuckles. It's not hit very well. It's bad luck that that's a hit. Renfro has a ball that's hit, like, 105 and almost burns an outfielder. It's just some bad luck tonight. No use in crying over Vinny. Just got to get on with it.
That's a great phone call, Kyler. I'd love to end the show right now on that one. Brilliant, man. Appreciate it. 913-586-7965. Yeah, you're 100% right, especially about that rocket off of the bat of Hunter Renfro in the third inning with two on and two out. Renfro, like you mentioned, 105 miles per hour to deep center field and a great leaping catch by the Tigers center fielder Parker Meadows. Yeah, Lucas Ursak in the 10th inning. Kyler, I'm with you, man. Now, changeup elevated to Parker Meadows. Credit to Meadows with, you know, the placed runner on second base and one out. Meadows there in the top of the 10th inning, not trying to get big. He goes to the opposite field. Now, the placed runner scored a little bit easier than I think we would have hoped because he advanced to third base on that balk. A clear balk. Yeah. I'm sure Lucas Hersek's kicking himself for that. Who knows? You know, if the balk doesn't happen, maybe that bloop off of the bat of Parker Meadows. You know, who knows how the inning turns out? Maybe the placed runner stays at third. It's first and third with one out. Now, Lucas Hersek and the young kid, Jace Young, with a nine-pitch battle, and eventually Hersek strikes him out with a changeup. That, man, I was so impressed with that young man at the dish there. Nine pitches against Lucas Hersek, and you know you're sitting on that fastball. You know you're sitting heater. So for him to foul pitch off after, you know, foul ball after foul ball, and then finally succumbing to that changeup, of course you're going to. Sitting 100, and he drops a 91-mile-per-hour changeup. And Young swings through it. So after that, it's, yeah, okay, it's one run. It's 2-1 Detroit, and that's fine. The Royals can certainly get that placed runner in the bottom of the 10th inning. So with a man on first and two outs, you know, Hersek wasn't close on those four pitches to Matt Vierling. So it's first and second now with two outs. Riley Green put a nice swing on a 99-mile-per-hour fastball that was up in the zone, inner third, but still maybe a... I think you wanted it in a little bit more or out, you know. You know, looked to me like Freddie maybe wanted that thing down and away, and it ended up and in. But still, credit to Riley Green putting a nice swing on that one, kind of fighting it off. Up the gut, it takes a nasty hop on Bobby Witt Jr. He can't make the play, and that third Detroit run comes in to score. Now, Kyler, your point about the runners in scoring position, yeah, man, the loss of Vinny Pasquantino, we knew it was going to hurt. It has already hurt, and I think, yeah, that's the thing that has me worried. Because what Detroit and A.J. Hinch and their pitching staff did tonight was completely take Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez out of the game. Bobby matches a career high with three walks. You know, Salvi has only one plate appearance with a runner in scoring position, and they walk him. Now, Bobby had one at bat with a man in scoring position. I guess Salvi did as well there in the 10th inning, and neither one of them able to come through. But I'm talking the first four trips to the dish. This Tigers team had no interest in allowing Bobby Witt Jr. to beat you. And if the situation allowed it, they weren't going to let Salvi beat them either. But they have no interest in Bobby Witt Jr., and nor should they. And nor will anybody come the postseason unless... Now, Tommy Pham or Michael Massey or Hunter Renfroe or someone can add that third threat in the lineup. Now, if there's anything that has me worried right now, it's how easy Detroit's pitching staff navigated that Royals lineup tonight. Because the quality of that pitching staff we saw tonight in Detroit is only going to get better in a few weeks. Not Detroit's pitching staff, but the opposition's pitching staff come October. You're only going to see the best of the best. You're not going to see a Casey Mize come October. So that's the thing that has me worried. But also, like Kyler said, you know, what good is worrying going to do? Or what good is sulking going to do? 10 games to go. No doubt, Tommy Pham, Michael Massey, Hunter Renfroe, Paul DeJong, you know, one of these guys are going to need to come through with that big knock in October. But like I said last night, thankfully it's the 17th of September. They didn't need to come through tonight unless, as I ask you, what has you worried after this 3-1 extra innings loss to Detroit? Unless you're worried about the postseason and that October invite that the Royals possess. Still a three-game cushion over Detroit. Still a magic number of 8 with 10 games to play. So I'll ask you again, even though Kyler already stole the show. What has you worried? 913-586-7965. Let's go to Luke in Prairie Village. Luke, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, I'm calling in again, second night in a row for some psychology, but I don't expect you to do it every night. The majesty and the drama of 152 is so awesome. Happy to be in it at 152, right? After 10 years. Awesome.
Yes.
We had it all going tonight. All the three things you always say, pitching, defense, team speed. But we lost because we didn't have situational hitting. And it seems like about 15 days, just kind of going off memory, that we haven't had the situational hitting. And I wonder if we're watching a team press and feel pressure and kind of postseason pressure, some of them for the first time.
Well, let's also acknowledge, I'll let you finish. Let's also acknowledge that the competition, you know, you said the last 15 some odd games, right? They just got done with that 20-game stretch against only playoff teams. So it would stand to reason that when you're facing better opponents, you're facing better pitching. And we'll go back to the concern I had when Vinny went down. Come October, it's about two things. How many good pitchers do you have? And how many hitters that hit good pitching do you have? Vinny hit good pitching consistently. Yep. So as you're seeing now, as you're taking on the best of the best, going into the game, their pitching staff identifies where the 27 outs are. And boy, oh boy, did they execute that game plan perfectly today.
And good point, because I feel like we've watched the Tigers two games in a row have an approach at the plate, not necessarily pitching. The pitching is great. Their approach at the plate seemed like they had a plan. They were
They made Lugo come to them. They made Reagans come to them. And, you know, they didn't all that often. Reagans certainly didn't all that often. But, you know, when the Royals are going right, that's what they do. You know, you got to come to me, man. The pressure's on the pitcher. You got to throw me something in the zone. And when you do, I'm going to do damage. That's what Detroit's done the past two nights. No doubt about it.
Totally. Felt like playoff baseball. I hope that our batters kind of realize that and know that they can move the line. You know, Massey doesn't have to pull that ball. He can push it tonight. Trust it. Trust yourself. Don't try to do too much and move the line. We'll see if they can do it in the last 10 games.
Hey, nice to hear from you, Luke. I appreciate you listening once again. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Royals go 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Michael Massey himself went 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position. If you missed the game, Michael Massey was your cleanup hitter. Bobby hitting second, Salvi hitting third, Michael Massey hitting fourth. No surprise. They navigated that lineup and said, if we're going to lose, Michael Massey's going to beat us. We're not letting Bobby do it, and we really don't want to allow Salvi to do it. Anybody else, take your shot. Again, though, Massey did come through with the only knock today with ducks on the pond. Right, his third inning RBI to tie this game up at one apiece. It would remain tied until the 10th when the Tigers put two on the board against Lucas Urseg. Urseg takes the loss. He's now 2-6 on the season. Royals have lost three in a row. They've also lost four straight extra inning games. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Michael, who was one of the 21,000 in the building tonight. Michael, what, if anything, has you worried?
I think it's missing Vinny. It's missing that bat. Because I think he would have came in, especially when we had the bases loaded, I think twice tonight, and we didn't get anything. But, I mean, the crowd was great, especially towards the end in the tip. I mean, it felt like we were in the playoffs, and there was a lot of energy. But I'm not worried about this team. I think we're going to come through and get that wild card spot. It's just I'm just want it to happen now.
Right.
And it's not.
No, I'm with you.
I'm ready for it.
But it's all part of it, right? I mean, these final 10, it's going to be fun. And when they do punch their ticket to October, Michael, I hope you call back up and we can celebrate together. Nice to hear from you. Royals now 82-70 on the season. They're 5 games back of Cleveland in the division. Boy, 10 games to play, a 5-game deficit, that's going to be difficult to overcome. For the division crown, the Royals' tragic number is 6. Meaning any combination of Guardians wins and Royals losses that add up to 6. And the division hopes are toast. Michael, thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7965. My game notes following this 3-1 loss in extras to the Tigers. Game notes brought to you by Jays Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jays Southland Tow. I mentioned the Royals have dropped 4 straight extra inning affairs. They've only played in 7 all year. That's the fewest in Major League Baseball. And you know, earlier Luke brought up hitting with runners in scoring position. Over the last 25 games, Royals hitting .195 with runners in scoring position. How about that? Let's go to Travis. He was one of the 21,000 in the building tonight. Trav, how you feeling, buddy?
Feeling pretty good, Vern. As far as what I'm worried about, I mean, I think everyone and yourself kind of touched up on it. Just the hitting with runners in scoring position and kind of missing that third threat in the lineup. But I can tell you what I'm not worried about is starting pitching.
No doubt. No doubt about it, man. Cole Reagans was an ace, right? Cole Reagans, and let's acknowledge, right? He's 7 pitches into the game, and he's already down 1-0. Right, he hits the first batter that he faces, leaves a cutter in the middle of the plate to Matt Vierling, who blasted to left center field for an RBI double. 1-0 Tigers before you were even in your seat. But again, thanks to some great defense from Bobby and Freddie and Mike Hell and Michael, Cole Reagans was able to give this team 7 innings of one-run baseball, his 20th quality start in this, his 31st outing of the season. As a team, the Royals now have 73 quality starts. That's the 3rd most in Major League Baseball. And I'll tell you this. Whether the Royals are in Baltimore or here for the wild card series, which starts up October 1st. Is that 2 weeks away? Crazy. The wild card series to me is still more... The wild card series resembles regular season baseball, which I think is great for the Royals. This Royals team, because of this Royals rotation, is best suited for regular season baseball, more so than tournament baseball. Tournament baseball, you know, the ALCS, the World Series, maybe the ALDS as well, where you're getting off days, where... You know, Kelvin Herrera, Wade Davis, and Greg Holland could throw multiple innings in almost every single game because of the off days, right? So a 7-game series, I don't think is advantageous for this team. Because you know, Michael Wacha can still only pitch probably twice in a series. Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans can only pitch twice in a series. Meanwhile, Emmanuel Clase might pitch in all 7 games. You know, they're big dogs in the bullpen. Whether we're talking Detroit or San Diego or Cleveland or Milwaukee, they're big dogs in the bullpen can give you multiple innings in every single game. So, that'll be a nice problem to have when and if the Royals advance to the ALDS. But looking at that wild card series where you play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no off days... Sure, relievers could still pitch in every single game, but by that 3rd game, they're going to be dog-tired. That arm is going to be barking. But Cole Reagans can eat up 9 innings. Cole Reagans can, him and Seth Lugo can single-handedly win you the wild card series. So, as I ask, what, if anything, has you worried after this 3-1 loss? I'm not worried about the wild card series. And I'm still confident that the Royals are going to the postseason. You know, the worry is looking way down the line into tournament baseball, when those big dogs in the bullpen and the best aces that those teams have are doing what Detroit did tonight, and that is executing their game plan beautifully from a pitching aspect, navigating this Royals lineup at times with ease. I appreciate the phone call. Nice to hear from you, Travis. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7965. Let's go to Clayton. He's from Harrisonville. Clayton, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
What's up, Vern? Hey, first-time caller.
Nice to have you, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Sounds like we all are a little worried about the same things. A lot of the bases were covered there. But, yeah, you can't, you know, load the bases up. Your bats get soft. Right now, you know, every game is meaningful. So going forward, it's, you know, it's always going to matter. So, like, can't be having that. I got to clean that up. And on the brighter side of things, I will say I was at the game. The K was rocking. It looked pretty good. So, anyway, that's it. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, hope to hear from you more often, man. Got to hear from you in the postseason. It's going to be a lot of fun. Clayton, thanks a lot. Yeah, more than 21,000 turning out tonight. Very entertaining baseball game. And, you know, I mentioned it earlier today on the On Deck Show. If you guys want playoff baseball, if you want to guarantee playoff baseball at Kauffman Stadium, you got to earn it. Players, coaches, fans. 21,000's nice, no doubt. I agree it's rocking, but that's nothing new. Kansas City's always had a way of making 13,000 sound like 23. 21 sounds like 31. Yeah, that's not new. I'm hoping the crowds continue to grow. Right? We had almost 19,000 last night, more than 21 tonight. You have a chance to watch the likely American League Cy Young Award winner tomorrow night with Tarek Skubal going up against Alec Marsh, who's fresh off a career-high 11 punch-out performance on the road. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. We go to David in Lee's Summit. David, you're next up as the Royals fall in extras. Go ahead.
First-time caller. Thank you for having me on.
All right.
A 54-year fan and a season ticket holder.
Nice.
Yeah, the things that concern me are coaching decisions. Tommy Pham is a 254 hitter. You have him batting leadoff. That's just kind of a head-scratcher.
Who do you like there? Who do you like there?
Oh, Bobby, for sure. Last night, he would have been up in a game-winning situation.
Yeah, yeah. No, and let me explain this real quick to you, David. We've been covering that all season long here on the show. Bobby Witt Jr., no doubt about it, is the best leadoff man on this team. But he did it last year. Didn't necessarily enjoy it, thrive under it, and I think the main job of this team is put Bobby Witt Jr. in a spot where he feels comfortable, put him in a spot for success. So that's the two spot, right? All season they've been trying to find that leadoff hitter. Tommy Pham shows up and was outstanding out of the gate. He's hit safely in 11 of his 15 starts. But, no doubt about it. He's 0 for his last 8 opportunities with a runner in scoring position. He needs to be that guy that comes through with those big knocks and gives you a good at-bat in the first inning, replacing the absence of Vinny Pasquantino. I'm with you on that they need more from Tommy Pham moving forward. But other than Bobby, I don't think there is a better option than Tommy as the leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I can agree with that right now. We have, I believe I might be wrong, the third best run differential in MLB. So with that, you would think we'd be in first place, right? A lot bigger run differential than Cleveland, yet Vogt has them in first place. I don't know.
They have the fifth best run differential in Major League Baseball. And yes, it's a lot better than Cleveland's. But Cleveland's offense, I think, in the first half of the season was much better, much deeper than Kansas City's, and their bullpen is obviously far superior. And, of course, run differential doesn't tell the entire story, right? Well, Milwaukee's not the best team in baseball, and yet they have the best run differential in Major League Baseball. Yeah, look, Stephen Vogt, I think, is going to win the American League Manager of the Year. And winning the division is why I think he's going to take home that hardware. But I don't think Cleveland winning the division is a knock on Matt Quatrero. That's how I feel, right? I mean, I certainly wasn't expecting this team to win the division. I had hopes over the past month that they might, but there were certainly never going to be disappointment if they did not. So yeah, credit to Stephen Vogt, but two things can be true. He's done a great job and Matt Quatrero's done a great job. In my opinion. Hey, thanks for the phone call, David. Hope to hear from you more often moving forward. Hey, as far as that home playoff game I mentioned, the Royals are 2.5 games back of Baltimore. And Baltimore has the tiebreaker, so your tragic number is 8. Any combination of Orioles wins and Kansas City losses that add up to 8. And a home field advantage for the best of 3 wild card series, the hope is dashed. So a tragic number for the division title at 6. Tragic number for home playoff game, 8. Magic number, 8. Does that all make sense? No? Oh, my bad. 3-1, your final score. If you're on hold, stay right there. We take a very quick timeout and we get right back to your phone calls.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Massey lines it toward the right side of base hit into right field. Witt sprints around third. Beerling's throw to the plate cut off. Witt slides in safely. This game is tied at 1. Michael Massey comes through with a 2-out RBI single.
Ties it up at 1 apiece there in the third. It would stay 1-1 as Cole Reagans would lock it in for the next 4 innings. Give you 7 frames of one-run baseball. Chris Bubich needed only 11 pitches to retire the side in order, going through Detroit's 1, 2, and 3 hitters striking out Matt Vierling and Riley Green, Chris Bubich stays red hot. In 25 innings out of the bullpen this season, Chris Bubich has 33 strikeouts and only one unintentional walk. Bubich hasn't allowed an earned run in any of his last six appearances. And then in the ninth inning, Lucas Erceg comes out, gives up a leadoff double to Wenzel Perez, but then locks it in and retires the next three batters on 10 pitches with a nice hand from Michael Garcia with a beautiful leaping stab on a line drive off of the bat of Spencer Torkelson. So 1-1 going to the 10th. Tigers would score two, Royals wouldn't score at all, and they lose the game in 10. 3-1 the final score, but as you just heard, Bobby Witt Jr. scores the Royals' lone run. It's his Major League most 123rd run scored this season. That's the third highest single season total in Royals franchise history. Tonight's Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Well, let's hear from you. As the Royals fall to 82-70 on the season, the question is rather straightforward. What, if anything, has you worried? Let's go to Zach in Gladstone. Zach, you're on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yep. So Luke and Michael and another guy got it right. I mean, they stole the words right out of my mouth. Bases loaded twice by the seventh or eighth inning. It's ridiculous. I know they've had a player meeting saying Salvi and Bobby are almost automatic walks. You know they're going to pitch towards them, but you know they're going to get nothing to hit. Everyone has a step up. I just don't know what everyone can do.
Thanks for the phone call, Zach. I'd like to hear more about this player's meeting. Terry was one of the 21,000 in the building. Terry joins us on 96.5 The Fan. Terry, what, if anything, has you worried?
Hey, Vern. I'm also a first-time caller.
All right.
Love your show, and I am so excited that the Royals are competitive and we've got a shot at the playoffs. So that's first. So glass is half full. I got to say, though, there are times when I have to question Q's bullpen decisions. So I sat there 10 rows behind the Royals dugout, and I watched Bubich mow them down like you talked about a minute ago, and yet he didn't come back out for the ninth inning. And I don't get that, right? I mean, they could not touch Bubich. He could have pitched the ninth and the tenth for that matter if he only uses the 10 or 11 pitches, and yet we go to Erceg. That's one thing. Secondly, the theatrics in the stadium when it's a tie ball game, that's not helpful. That's kicking the bear, if you ask me. Glass is half full,
yep.
But some of the pitching decisions I think are questionable at best. That's my two cents worth.
Okay, I appreciate it. Nice to hear from you, Terry. Now, personally, I was I wasn't surprised to see Erceg come out in the ninth. Now, I'll admit, I didn't fill in Chris Bubich's final line after his inning of work, just in case he came back out. But when it's Lucas Erceg, I'm not sitting there saying, oh, big mistake. No, he's your best bullpen arm. I had no issue with that decision. I have no issue with you taking issue with it, though, Terry. Now, where we agree is, listen, I've never been a fan of the pyrotechnics and the turning out the lights, and I've thought it's whack from the beginning. But I'm an old man. I'm a bald, old, boring nerd, okay? So it's not for me. It's for, you know, a majority of the 21,000 that turned out tonight. They like it. And if this is anything, it's entertainment, right? It's for the people. But no, I mean, unless we're talking Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman, yeah, okay, play their songs. I'm with it. Even if it's a save situation, I think it's whack. But yeah, tie game, playing that whole intro, but I'm not a fan of it. I think it's dumb when they did it in Minnesota, which is all what, you know, jump started this whole thing. Being a closer is really difficult. There aren't many that are good at it. It's tough to be consistent. Edwin Diaz is blowing saves left and right for the Mets. Duran blew a save here. Anyway, I get sidetracked. I see what you're trying to do, Terry. Get me sidetracked and make me sound like a really old curmudgeon. Johnny was in the building tonight. Johnny, nice to hear from you once again. What, if anything, has you worried, Johnny?
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. The big thing that has me worried is tonight I felt like there was too many times where the batters were just waiting for that one perfect hit. That one perfect pitch. And I don't think there's anything wrong with playing a little bit of, you know, chippy backyard ball. You know, they did get on bases. They didn't deliver it out. But I think it's because they were waiting for that big hit to bring two in at a time. But that's my big thing is I can't tell you who I think should readjust the lineup. But playing a little backyard ball and just bringing them in one at a time, I don't think is something that we should write off.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. Always great hearing from you. And, you know, looking at the opportunities today, Michael Massey, thanks for the phone call. Massey flies out to the opposite field in the first inning with Bobby on second base. Third inning again, Hunter Renfro smoked that ball. Off the bat, I thought it was going to leave, and then I certainly thought it was going to get over the head of Parker Meadows. He makes a great catch, or else... you know, Perez, Salvi would have scored from second. Maybe Massey. Yeah, there's two outs. Yeah, Massey scores on that as well. So Renfro picked the right pitch there in the third. Bases loaded with one out in the fifth inning. A.J. Hinch goes to the bullpen to bring in Shelby Miller. First pitch slider to Michael Massey. Splits the plate. Massey yanks it to the right side. Okay, maybe he should have spit on one. Easy to say now. Tell you what, Massey spiked the living bejesus out of his batting helmet after he grounded into that inning-ending 4-6-3 double play. Bases loaded again in the sixth inning with two outs. Tommy Pham flies out to the opposite field. Got ahead in the count as well. And then, 1-2-3 in the eighth. Royals go down 1-2-3 in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. And I guess in the tenth inning as well, right? Bobby, Salvi, and Massey leave that place runner placed on second base, and the Royals fall in 10, 3-1, the final score. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. We go to Timmy in Kansas City. Timmy, I appreciate you hanging on, buddy. Go ahead.
No problem, Vern. How you doing tonight? I hope you're doing really well. I'm enjoying these callers tonight. Shout out to all the callers, especially the first-time callers.
Yes.
You're bringing up the lights going out. The only thing that makes me want to do is grab my partner and make out with him. When the lights go out, that's what I think of, which is
look at you.
Why my dog will not go bark and park with me anymore. But that's a different story. I do have another concern. You're asking about concerns. We had three post-game shows, 37 minutes or less. Vern, I need at least 45.
Hey, that's not my fault, man. The Chiefs, no one called on Saturday and Sunday. They're all watching their college football in the NFL.
Well, that's why I'm calling. But, hey, I'm doing what I can. I'm texting in. I'm calling tonight. I'm trying to extend the show. Your question is, what are we concerned about? Everyone's getting very specific, and I'm just sitting here saying health. I just want to be healthy. We're already limping through September. I'd like to get October with as healthy as we possibly can to give ourselves a best chance in that wild card game.
Yeah,
and I appreciate everything you do, Vern. I love you.
Hey, I love you too, man. Thank you very much. I apologize for the short shows. Listen, you guys know my rule. I'll stay on as long as you keep calling, keep texting. Well, not always keep texting because some of it is just so emotionally draining. The negativity on the text line, the way It saps me, man. Saps my joy. Beats up my self-esteem at times. I'll be honest with you. But if you keep calling, yeah, I'll stay on all night. But Sunday's game ended like 5 minutes before the Chiefs kicked off. And I've never met anybody in Kansas City that doesn't watch or listen to the Chiefs game. So no one was listening to me on Sunday. No one was listening on Saturday. But thankfully, we're at home now, and 21,000 people left their radio on 96.5 The Fan as they arrived at the stadium, and hopefully left it on as they made their way home. Well, that's what Kevin in Topeka does, right? Kevin joins us on 96.5 The Fan. Kev, what's happening?
Hey, buddy. Another first-time caller. I'm also an old fogey, and although I'm not bald, I have a beautiful head of hair.
God, love you.
Yeah, there you go. So what I'm afraid of is how bad we are in close games. We're 2-6, 2-7 in extra inning games, and I think
five.
We're second to last in one run games. And I a lot of people have been talking tonight about Pasquantino being gone, and I think that's been a big blow. I agree with all of that, but I think the coaching staff needs to adjust the offensive mentality. I'll give you an example. Isbell's on first with Sam coming up, right? And Bobby Witt behind him, the best hitter in baseball, one of them. Let's send him. Let's steal a base. Let's do a hit and run. Let's do something. There's no bunts. I think we need to switch to more of a.
A little early for a bunt, though, right?
Kind of thing. A little, so what's that?
A little early for a bunt, third inning. Bobby Witt Jr. on deck. I mean, you're down 1-0. I'm not playing for a tie.
So
I kind of want to put a crooked number.
How about a hit and run? Give Tommy Pham an open field somewhere, and he can drive one through it. I mean, let's get the runners moving. Let's put some pressure on the defense.
Gotcha.
We led the league in RESB and hitting with RESB for how long? And
right.
But the last month we've been pretty bad, and that's probably because Pasquantino's gone. So let's make that adjustment. So. Listen, buddy, I enjoy the show. I want to leave you with this. You've been talking about Massey tonight. And my pet peeve in baseball is a guy that swings at the first pitch with the bases loaded. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
No pitcher is going to give you a pitch you can hit on the first pitch with the bases loaded. He's going to throw something you can roll over into a double play. I love Michael Massey. He's going to be a great player for us. He's young enough to learn from that. But that annoys the crap out of me. Just make that guy, put pressure on that guy, make him throw pitches to you. If he throws one right down the middle, that's okay. He'll give you another one. Again, I'll let you go. Hey, I appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, I hope to hear from you more often. You make solid points. I'm not going to argue, Kev. Appreciate the phone call. Royals are 16-19 in one-run games. They are 12-14 in two-run games. 2-5 at extra inning games. And to go back to what Timmy said about health, you know, that's his focus. That's what he's worried about. That's what he's paying attention to. Yeah, man, Michael Lorenzen and Hunter Harvey, man, how much of a boost would they be right now in that bullpen? Now, you're hoping Michael Lorenzen can be that bullpen boost before the season ends, or, shoot, even by the postseason. You know, Hunter Harvey, you're starting to wonder, do we just have to wait until 2025 before we see the big right-hander acquired from Washington? I'm with you, though. Great phone call so far. I really appreciate it, guys. Phone lines are open if you want to grab one. 913-586-7965. Text line is there for you as well. We'll get to the text line coming up in a moment. 913-586-7965. Let's head inside that Royals clubhouse. Bobby Witt Jr. tonight became the first shortstop in baseball history with multiple 30-30 seasons. He's the first player ever, regardless of position, with multiple 30-30 campaigns within his first three big league seasons. Bobby Witt Jr. tonight steals his 30th base to go along with 32 bombs. He's the eighth player in baseball history to record back-to-back 30-30 seasons, but I can promise you he's not really that impressed afterward. Let's hear what the 24-year-old had to say on Bally Sports Kansas City.
Yeah, it's pretty special anytime you get to be the first, but yeah, that's now over. Now we're on to tomorrow.
Like you said, you probably would trade the history for a win tonight. It's pretty frustrating.
100%. Anytime you lose, it's frustrating, but it's just kind of trying to figure out how you can improve. And so we didn't come as far just to come as far. We got to keep improving and get to our where we need to be.
What made KC Mises a challenge for you guys throughout the first four and the third innings there?
I just think he's just mixing pitches, throwing pitches kind of all over the zone. And just, yeah.
When you get on, you looking to just steal pretty quickly there, too?
Yeah, just trying to get extra 90 feet. Anytime Salvi's up, I can score from first, can score from error, but just anytime I'm able to kind of see something or try to get an extra 90 feet, I want to be able to do that to kind of be able to get into better scoring position for guys behind me.
I know trying to help the team win, is 30 on your mind at all as you enter tonight?
It's just that number that's there. I was at 29, just need one more 30, but it's just, I'm just trying to get to the next base, get to the score. That's really what I'm trying to do once I get on the base paths, is just trying to be able to, at whatever way, just try to get in, score.
Is there any adjustments you guys could potentially make after facing this pitching staff that for this tomorrow's game to take it a bit different?
It's just kind of just doing what we've been doing. We just got to tie together a couple hits in a row, and just get the next guy up, and then move guys in and get guys in. And so that's really just the biggest thing. Just kind of do what we do. Once we get hot, things are gonna be good.
And a couple of big defensive plays from Paul DeJong and then Michael Garcia. What was it just like standing there watching them do what they do there?
Yeah, it's great seeing all the guys making defensive plays. Massey making a great play too, and then outfield locking it down out there, and then Cole Reagan's out there pitching, doing what he does, and the bullpen. Yeah, so it was great.
Feel like you were kind of on the verge all night of breaking through with all those base runners?
Yeah. Anytime you get base runners on, it's just one swing away, and it's the game of baseball, and so it's just one pitch at a time. You got to take it like that. You can't look to do too much, do too little, and just kind of try to get the win tomorrow.
There you go. Bobby Witt Jr., 0-for-2 on the night with 3 walks, a run scored, a stolen base. His batting average falls to a major league best, .331, as he's still atop the major league lead, obviously, and still well on pace to become the third player in franchise history to win a batting title. Bobby's OPS is now .984. That's third best in Major League Baseball. Only the Yankees, Aaron Judge, and Juan Soto have a higher OPS. Yeah. And somehow Aaron Judge is the MVP, even though, whatever, I'm not going down that route. It's ridiculous, though, right? It should be a coin flip right now between those two. Whatever. No, I don't want to do that tonight. I mean, I will do that tonight if you want me to do that tonight. Bobby Witt Jr., the 10th player in baseball history to not just have a 30-30 season, but to pair it with a 200-hit season. And we're talking Hank Aaron and A-Rod and Ronald Acuna. Special season, the greatest season this building has ever witnessed, is being put forth by that 24-year-old you just heard. Bobby Witt Jr., thanks again to Bally Sports Kansas City for the audio. We'll take our final quick timeout. We'll get back to your phone calls and hear from Cole Reagans after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals Baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Royals fall in 10 innings, 3-1. Tigers take game 2 and take the series. Royals will hope to avoid the sweep tomorrow as they face the likely American League Cy Young Award winner encounter with Alec Marsh. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. Again, text line 913-586-7965. I asked at the beginning what, if anything, has you worried following this, the 70th loss of the season. Boy, still a dozen games above 500, and still in possession of a playoff spot with a 3-game cushion protecting that postseason invite they possess. All right, looking at the text line, not that bad. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for picking me up, not slamming me down. Larry writes in, Vern, the only concern I have is the way that Detroit's playing right now. A win tomorrow and all is well, but a loss and we have our work cut out for us. Signed, Larry. Well, a loss tomorrow would mean you're down to a two-game cushion protecting that postseason spot. Day off on Thursday before a three-game series against the Giants, and then a three-game series in Washington starting on Monday, and then you wrap up the season starting on... a three-game series in Washington starts on Tuesday, and then you wrap up the season in Atlanta beginning on Friday night. Yeah, you know, I've said for a while, man, I've had my feet up since last Sunday. This team's playing with house money because every test that I've presented to them, that the schedule, that the game, that the league, that every test that I see before them, they've conquered and matched or exceeded my expectations every single time. I see plenty of you on the text line. Hey, Bozo, are your feet still up? Hey, Baldy, are your feet still up? Yeah, my feet are still up. And yeah, they're still playing with house money. Because there's just no way I end this baseball season disappointed. There's just no way. Let's also acknowledge, I've never found myself in the position of, if they fall short of October, I'm angry. There's no excuse for this team to fall short of October. I've never said that. I've never felt that way. Now, I believe they're going to the postseason. So I guess the type of collapse that it would take for them to fall short, yeah, I guess disappointment could befall us if that happens, but it's not going to last long. At least for me, it will not. And no, it has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes. No, it has nothing to do with the team across the parking lot. Even if they somehow gag this away, the disappointment will not last longer than 8 to 12 hours. I'll get over it because this has been an amazing season, a historic season. And nothing's going to change that, not in my opinion. Royals lose tonight despite only allowing 3 runs. That's only the 8th time that's happened all season. Royals are 67-8. This year, when allowing 3 runs or fewer. Now let's go back to the text line. Spike in St. Joe shouting out Chris Bubich and is wondering if there's anything new on the Hunter Harvey front. Hunter Harvey, we talked about him earlier, the right-hander acquired from the Washington Nationals prior to the trade deadline. No, nothing really to pass along. Nothing to get you excited, that's for sure. Annie Rogers of MLB.com tweeted out earlier today that Michael Lorenzen and Will Smith are both scheduled for live BP coming up on Saturday. So you can get excited about Michael Lorenzen or Will Smith possibly returning in the next few weeks. Possibly. Spike, appreciate you listening, as always. 913-586-7965. Bob and Shawnee says, Vern, I'm not concerned about anything. What has me optimistic is Tarek Skubal has struggled at Kauffman Stadium. He's given up 16 runs in 15 innings at the K. So, Vern, a winning streak begins tomorrow. Signed, Bob and Shawnee. Bob, I like it, man. Thank you very much. All right, let's head back inside that Royals clubhouse. Cole Reagans tonight, 7 innings of one-run baseball. Only 6 strikeouts. He averages 7 a start. Tonight, only 6. His season total is now 217 punchouts. He's only 2 shy of Chris Sale for the Major League lead. Keep in mind, no Royal has ever led the league in strikeouts. Cole Reagans right now leads the American League in strikeouts. Those 217 punchouts, the third best single season total in Royals franchise history. Let's hear what Cole Reagans had to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
The defense was incredible. I mean, Massey making the play at second, Paulie D making the play at third, Freddie throwing out two guys, you know, saved me, helped me get in, you know, a little deeper into the game.
Jeff, on you, pretty quick there, early in that first inning, what adjustments were you able to make here? Was that just a matter of getting back to your plan?
Yeah, I think just getting back to the plan, you know, trying to execute pitches a little better. I think that cutter was a little more middle than I wanted it. And he's a good hitter. You know, he made me pay for it.
How do you feel going out for the seventh?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I faced those guys a couple times. I know what I need to do. The four-pitch walk, you know, not ideal, but Freddie picked me up again. You know, like I said, the defense just helped me out big time tonight. They were, you know, unbelievable. They were locked in.
What do those cut ceilings do? I mean, obviously, Bryce is the
runner,
but mentally for you?
Yeah, it's kind of a sigh of relief, honestly. You know, I mean, gets a guy off the base pass a little more relaxed, you know. Feel like you don't have to be as perfect when there's not a guy on second base, you know, there's nobody on. But yeah, I mean, it just helps you relax a little more, try to attack the guy a little better at the plate.
What was your, I guess, thought process and game plan when you gave up those two walks in the fifth inning to get those two strikeouts to end it?
I just try to execute. You know, just execute, trust the guys behind me. They're, you know, I know they're good. I know they're good at what they do. Just try to trust them and, you know, execute my pitches.
Yeah, huge spot there for Cole Reagans. That's Jalen Thompson there asking the question about the fourth inning. Back-to-back one-out walks issued by Reagans, and he strikes out the Sweeney kid and the Dingler kid. I apologize, I don't know their first names. But Sweeney and Dingler go down swinging through a curveball, and 97 sits Dingler down. Cole Reagans held Detroit 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position. He matches a career high by going 7 innings. Seventh time in his career, sixth time this season, as he crosses the 180 innings pitched marker for the first time in his young career. Reagans, with those 7 innings of one-run baseball, his ERA is now 3.24. That's top 15 in all of Major League Baseball. Few more from the text line. G-Baby is wondering if Bobby Witt Jr. should have laid down a bunt in the 10th inning. No. You were down by 2. You needed to put up a crooked number to extend the game. No, you're not playing for 1 there. Raj in the Ozarks. Vern, I'm worried about the same thing I said I was worried about when I called up a few weeks ago. We are not predators at the plate. Vern, you disagreed, but we are as predatory as a cow falling through the ice with our bats. Roger, the best, man. Always nice hearing from you. And listen, I gave you the stat, Raj. You know, the numbers are on your side right now. Royals hitting .195 with runners in scoring position across their last 25 games. Tony, who goes to a lot of games, writes in, Vern, our boys look a little tight. Not a lot tight, just a little tight. These past 3 games, they look a little tight. They just need to relax and play Royals baseball. They still control their destiny for a postseason spot. A victory tomorrow will put everything back in order. Yeah, no doubt about that. But, you know, I'm listening to Alex Gold said that about today's game. CDOT said that about today's game. Get this one and all is good. Get this one because tomorrow a monster is lurking in Tarek Skubal. Our buddy Gabe in Independence. Vern, you can preach all the offensive stats from the season that you want, but if our whole lineup can't hit, you know, house money, put our feet up on the desk, we'll get knocked out in the first round of the postseason. Love the optimism, though. Signed, Gabe in Independence. Of course, Gabe. Yeah, if you don't hit, you're going to lose in the postseason. I agree. But as I laid out earlier in the show, I don't think this Royals team is necessarily properly equipped for tournament baseball. Regular season baseball, that three-game wildcard series, oh yeah, bring on all opponents. You start giving me off days, you start throwing your big relievers at me multiple innings every single game, that's when I start to get a little bit nervous. Hey, but I like those numbers. Apparently, Tarek Skubal struggles at Kauffman Stadium. I didn't know that. Now, I know that the Royals have held their own against Skubal over the course of, well, at least, maybe not. Maybe not. I'm certainly remembering the instances where you get to them, right? You tend to remember getting to the great closers, getting to the great starters, and you forget when they mow you down because that's what they're expected to do. But as far as, yeah, seven games at Kauffman Stadium, yeah, Tarek Skubal's 1-5, 38 strikeouts in 36 innings with an ERA north of 6. Yeah, all right. So I guess, you know, you could say he's due for a Cy Young-type performance, or you could say, hey, man, that's a trend. He's going to stink it up tomorrow, and it's time to eat. Hey, I'll tell you this. Alec Marsh on the hill. Remember the last time Alec Marsh was at Kauffman Stadium trying to help his team stave off a sweep from a playoff caliber opponent? I'm talking about that Yankees series. Royals were about to get swept in that four-game series, and Alec Marsh just went grown man on the Pinstripers. Let's hope he can do it tomorrow to the Motown Kitties. Grant Nicholson, thank you very much for the help back at the studio. Kansas City, I'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:30. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Pasquantino smacks it deep to right field. His second home run of the game.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 96.5thefan.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.